this is Arianna Huffington. I want to tell Joe Biden to quit his job. We're going to run away. We're going to run away to the circus because this is the moment. He opposes the escalation, sexualization of this war. My Huffington postulation is going to stop this war and the sexualization of the postulation. There is no way that this war is going to go on. I said to my hairdresser, I said, you shave me bald. You understand? I don't give weak orders. If you think that just because I wear Chanel and I took my ex-husband's name, who's the bisexual, homosexual, fantasticalizations of the transsexualisms, of the incestualations, of the postulations, of the incantations of my witchery, that I'm not a powerful uterus in this economy, ecology, equestrian nation, you one wrong stupid American bitch. My name is Arianna Huffington. My hair is red. Don't you forget it. I sting like a fly, fly like a bee, butterfly, something like that. Muhammad Anjali said that. Joe Biden is much better than this. He has much more important things to do, like eat ice cream and hamburgers. I disagree with the president of the United States, the president, because the president wants to escalate the war, which would pretty much mean that for 2-3 years I've been pushing a warmonger who just won the Nobel Peace Prize. And whatever it is that I do on this online, I don't even really know myself, to be honest. But I know that somehow my red hair makes people read it. Basically, I've been pushing another bailout of the criminal banking system, expansion of the Patriot Act, and someone who within the first 100 days, after lots and lots of promises to the gay community, in his first 100 days, he signed a DOJ executive order that compared gay marriage to pedophilia and all other kinds of awful things. And what's so funny, I can't stop laughing. My name is Arianna. My hair is red. What's so funny is not even W. Bush signed anti-gay legislation in 8 years. And Bill Clinton gave us DOMA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Another friend of the gay community, another friend, and another feminist. You know, because Bill Clinton and Barack Obama are feminists. You know, you remember Bill Clinton is such a feminist. I think they might have confused what the word means. I think that maybe people didn't understand the defecation of the word feminist does not mean fucking 22-year-old interns and touching people's asses in the White House. That is not the defecation of a feminist. The defecation of a feminist is defecation.
Said that it's a phase, just something I'd outgrow. But I got a girlfriend and she's got a lawn that I'd sure like to mow. Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along, but I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong.
Hey, this is Ashanti from Brooklyn, New York, and I just wanted to say I love your show. I'm sorry that this is the first time that I'm hearing the show. I loved it. I mean, everything. It was just so funny and just so real, and I just want you to know that I'm one of your biggest fans now. Keep it coming. Love you. Bye-bye.
I'm laughing even before I press record because I can't stand people that laugh like they have a nervous fucking tick. Get a hold of yourself. get a hold of yourself. You're fucking nuts. I would just like to make a brief commentary on Roman Polanski. I did see the penis, the piano, whatever the fuck the name of his movie is. Is it The Penis? With that fucking stupid actor with the horse nose? Who? I just would like to know, who agrees to be in these movies with Roman Polanski? Oh, it's Hollywood. I forget. Sorry. I'm just going to make a prediction here. I've made a few predictions on this show. Most have come true. My prediction is that Roman Polanski will be formally convicted this time. But when he gets in, within 3 months, he'll say he has cancer. And then he'll be released in a year to go live in Polanski country, wherever the fuck he came from. And he will be there to live out the rest of his life with his loved ones because he's going to have some staged cancer. So that is my prediction on the Polanski. The only thing I'd like to add to that is if you are attracted to people who are under 18 and you are over 18, or if you're like way over 18 and you're attracted to people who are skirting the 18-year-old age, you have a problem. And just the fact that these disgusting, vile Hollywood slime scum suckling, anytime anything is endorsed by Hollywood, always remember that so is Roman Polanski. And he's sitting there trying to get out of jail. You got big fucking balls. What balls? This is the big Hollywood scum, the most vile, disgust. But then again, you have R. Kelly walking around, and Woody Allen, who's married to his daughter. I mean, you know, right, technically not his daughter, but exactly as reprehensible as if it were. You know, when someone like Polanski gets nailed for it, I think it's good because it does make something of a statement. This man could not have gone on to make successful films if people did not cooperate with him. What kind of soulless robot are you to participate? I don't just look at the person. I look at who has supported this guy. The film companies, all of the directors that worked with him, the actors that took the jobs with him, all of his friends, these people that push him. Are you on drugs? The man raped a 13-year-old girl. He sodomized her. He drugged her and he raped her. She was 13. He's a freak. What do you have, 10, 15 years? I hope he suffers in. I hope he gets convicted and suffers like to the point that he's so fucking suicidal that they have to wrap him up in a straitjacket. I hope they end up having to medicate him. But don't let him suffer and lock him in a cell. And why wouldn't I get any joy out of him being locked in a tiny cell? Even though, of course, he wouldn't be, because it's Hollywood and he's got money. His jail cell would look nicer than my entire house. So, which is a joke. But even if he were to be, which he should, be locked in a cell 23 hours a day, like those really tiny ones, why wouldn't that give me any joy? I don't understand why that wouldn't give me any joy. You know, the very things that I want, the very justice that I seek, doesn't give me any joy when it is given to them. You know, like if I really hate someone and then something bad happens to them, I don't get any joy out of it. I don't know why that happens to me. Why can't I enjoy just some fucking revenge once in a while? It makes no sense, but whatever. Fuck all of you Polanski apologists, you motherfuckers.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore! Let's go!
Hi, Sandy. I'm Bree. I'm 16. I live with my mom and stepdad in Germany because he's in the army, and I have an addiction. I'm addicted to your show. My mom took my iPod for a month, and it was pure hell because I couldn't hear your show, and I felt like a crackhead that couldn't get their fix. You know, standing outside in the rain, screaming, "Lesbian Mafia, I love you! Come back to me!" But yeah, I listen to your show every day, and you have to be one of the funniest people I've ever listened to. I like your show way more than Oprah's. This is going to sound like either weird or creepy. creepy, but I had a dream about you the other day, and I met you, and I started acting like one of those screaming fangirls at a rock concert. And when I woke up, I said, Brie, I don't think you would scream if you met her, just sort of be speechless because of how awesome she is. But, yeah, totally have to get her autograph, though, like, because I'm totally going to keep that forever and ever and, like, put it in a safe. But, yeah, I just called in to let you know I love your show and keep up the good work. Definitely have support from me. And I think I became a little even more lesbianer. I don't even know if that's a word. Wait, no, I became more lesbian. So, yeah, no, I think I'm going to go get a crew cut now. Bye.
Jen, you think it did change her face, don't you think?
I don't know. I haven't seen her. What are you thinking?
I saw her in that new show she's doing, Horse On. She has a new show.
Right,
this
right.
It was a pilot, and now it's going to come out next season, new show. And her cheekbones look all fucked in. The face looks all fucked in. Her cheekbones look high. And if you look at her, she didn't used to look like that before. Now she's beginning to look like that freaking posh chick that's married to David Beckham.
Yeah, what do they do? Do they shoot cow feces in their cheeks, too?
I think they Botox. Because all of her cheeks were like, they're swollen, Jada. And that was not her face. And then my sister, oh, Jada was always pretty. I said, no, Jada did something to her face. At first I was like, okay, fine, maybe you're right. Maybe she was always pretty, she lost a little weight. I said, then I looked at her again, I was like, you know what, no.
Yeah, they all start to look like Hedda Nussbaum. They all start to look like they got punched the fuck up.
That is how she's looking. I hope that's it. I hope she doesn't do anything else to her face because she's a pretty girl. She didn't really need to do any of that stuff.
And then they morph their faces and you can't recognize them. They don't even look like the same person.
Like little Kim, I don't know who that is. I don't know who she is right now.
What the hell did she do to her goddamn face, little Kim?
But like that Catwoman. What's that woman?
She's like entering Michael Jackson land. She is so gone, little Kim. And I loved her. Not only, I mean, I didn't like her early shit when she was talking about, fuck me in my ass, put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
That shit I didn't like. But, you know, she got a little bit more, I don't know, she got more talented, I think, as time went on, right?
I think she just came out of jail and lost her mind.
Yeah, she pulled a Sammy Gravano. She totally changed her face. She doesn't even listen. It's not the same person. It doesn't even look like the same person.
She just wants to come out of jail and just keep doing what she's doing. Just like she, what's her name? Martha Stewart went to jail. She didn't come out and do all that stuff. She just went back to her regular basis.
Right, Martha.
Yeah, right back to gardening.
Martha went from the jail cell right back into the garden.
Right, doing her regular old stuff. Kim has to come out and try to be somebody. It's almost like they want to change who they are now or do something different. Now, just keep going with what was working for you. All of a sudden you see her, she looks like a crazy person.
I know, and I love little Kim. Put your lighters up. I love little Kim.
See, they take like, I don't know what it is. Maybe they take like a, like how you put a piece of meat in your breath, like how you put that silicone in your breath. I think they put something in their teeth.
Yeah, I think you're right. You think that they open their faces up and put something in?
I don't know, like, they can open it by the ears because you wouldn't really see it. That's why they usually do it by the ears and then put the freaking cheek in there, a little piece of cheek or something.
That's so disgusting. That's so, how nuts do you have to be to rip your face up like that? And then it's not even like, okay, if you're going to rip your face up, like, go under the knife. First of all, God bless you that you don't have any other problems in life, that you ever had to go under the knife for something for real. You know, God bless them. But that they're so vain that they will rip their faces up and let somebody cut their face open to not even end up looking good.
Yep.
Like, let's say you did that and then you were guaranteed that you were going to look like you, but 20 years ago.
Right. I just think it's just weird to see someone that's supposed to be aging off of it. Trying to go back.
Right, like if you want to do like those rejuvenation things, whatever, you know, fine if you want to do that shit, but I mean to really start peeling your face back and doing oh my god, did you see that guy from who was that guy that
exactly who you're going for, the guy that was the fighter?
No, not him. You're talking about Mickey Rourke?
Oh, right, Mickey Rourke is a mess.
Oh my god, he looks like he got hit by a bus. He looks like he's been,
oh my god,
he looks like he's been in an abusive relationship for the past 15 years.
This is really bad. That was bad.
I know, but and he used to be so gorgeous when he was young.
Right, and then he was famous, and I don't know what happened to him. When I saw him, I was shocked.
It is very shocking. But no, I'm talking about the other guy that was in that movie with Julia Roberts, that nice-looking English guy.
Oh, what did he do?
He looks like a Martian. He just complete. He just. Looks
oh my God! And he was cute.
He looks so crazy, and he was aging gracefully. I don't understand, but he pulled his face so far back. It looks like leather. The way he.
What was the name of that movie?
My Best Friend's Wedding.
I forgot about that. Best Friend's Wedding. Yes.
The one who plays the gay guy, Rupert Everett.
Mhm.
He totally, what he did to his face, it looks like, I don't know what the hell happened
to him. Why would he do that?
I don't understand it. He looks so crazy.
It's got to be like a serious insecurity. I don't want to do that to my face. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I'll try whatever it takes, like what kind of lotions they say will help. I'll try all that stuff, but when it comes to going under the knife, it's not that serious.
I mean, to have invasive surgery on your face.
Yeah.
And on, like, parts of your body, like to have to go under anesthesia.
We all want to stay looking young, but to me also, after a certain age, you start getting old and you're still trying to put your face a certain way, then it doesn't look normal anymore. Just stop it.
And then you start looking pathetic, like an ass.
Then you just start looking stupid, like, oh my God, look at her, she's still trying to look young. I would rather just grow old gracefully than to have people look at me like, look at her, she doesn't want to grow old, she keeps pulling her face and doing it.
All right, now I want to get back to these little hussies, because they're more exciting.
Did you see when they did the roast on Joan Rivers? Yeah, a little while ago, they did the roast on her. It was funny. Everybody talked about her.
I missed it.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
I could probably find it on YouTube, right?
Yeah, you probably could. That was pretty funny, the stuff they said about her. She looks she needs to stop it. Just let it go.
She's lost her mind, I think, too. A lot of these people, they want to be famous, not because they want the money. It's just that they need the fame.
Like the whole idea and the prestige and the whatever, you know, I'm famous, people love me. But after a while, they need to know that we don't want to see them looking crazy. The lady's name, that she always gets awards, and she really looks really good.
I know, we don't know the names of anybody we're talking about. We're so pathetic. We're like, yeah, that one, yeah, okay, that one. Remember that actress from that movie? I can't remember her name, but she looks great.
As good as it gets. He played him as good as it gets.
Oh, Jack Nicholson.
Okay, Jack Nicholson. Diane Lane. I think it's Diane Lane. Jack Nicholson.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was just talking about Diane Lane.
Oh, good. And she's getting older. She's fine.
Woo, she is one. She is hot. And it's not so much the photographs of her that are sexy. It's her. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's the whole, like, is she a cougar?
I guess she'll be a cougar.
Because a cougar is not your age. A cougar is more your attitude. You could be a woman in your 30s and 40s and 50s and not be a cougar. Yeah. A cougar is a woman that wants younger guys.
Oh, I don't know if she wants younger guys.
Yeah, that's more of a cougar. It's your attitude, like that you want a younger guy. You're like a man eater, but, you know, for younger men or women.
A young guy, take advantage of them.
Right. Or women.
They want to hide their young sons from these damn women.
Yes, see, my problem is I like women my age and a little older, so soon I'm going to have to go after women in diapers. But not in the opposite direction.
Oh, good Lord, that's terrible.
I just like women who are smarter than me.
But after they become in diapers, they're not going to be smarter than you anymore, so maybe you won't want them.
Right, and then once they're with me, I know that they're obviously stupid.
Well,
and then I want to leave them.
You're going to forget everything, so you won't want them.
Right.
We're stupid.
And I don't care if they don't lube up that much down there. Who wants all that mess? I don't need all that mess.
When you get older, you don't want someone to do it. You just want someone for companionship. You don't want to actually do anything with them, for Christ's sakes.
You don't think they want sex? I think they want sex.
Oh, my God, that's disgusting.
Really?
Tell me you have some kind of image of you trying to do it when you're old. Stop it.
No, I'm saying for them. You don't think they want sex?
No.
I think they want to do it.
They just want companionship and someone to spend their time with.
Well, then that would not be a cougar.
Think about it. Lesbians get together and they're young and they don't want to do it then. Well, they get older, they don't want to do anything. Go interview a couple of lesbians that's been together for like freaking a good 9-10 years and they stopped doing it a long time ago and they're in their 30s. So when they're in their freaking 60s, they are not doing nothing.
Even straight people, though, they stop doing it after 10 years, too.
Yes.
And they start sleeping in different bedrooms. My grandmother threw my grandfather into another bedroom.
I know. My grandfather did that, too. Like, they slept in separate rooms.
Yeah, she made the excuse that she doesn't like the smell of the hair stuff that he puts in his hair.
And it's true. The idea of sex is that I give him a kiss on the lips. That's sex.
Do you think it's impossible to keep the embers burning after 10 years? A couple after 10 years, like, they're definitely not having hot sex?
No, some couples are still doing it. I can't say all. There's some people still doing it. So I still want to do a little something. I myself, I want to do a little something and everything. But, I mean, there's a lot of people I know that be like, get out of here. They ain't doing nothing.
Yeah. Is it possible?
Yeah, also, too, according to how you take care of yourself. Because I noticed a lot of people, too, when they get in relationships, all of a sudden they feel they can stay at home and get all big and fat and be like, oh, she loves me now. There's no problem and all this stuff. And right away, that's a problem.
Mm.
If you're going to lose control of yourself and just don't take care of yourself, then after a while, the person's always going to still love you, but then that attraction is not going to be there if you're not trying to, like, look sexy. And that's like my friend, she said she likes to still go out because it gives her a reason to keep herself in shape and together. Because if I think I'm going to go out and see people, I try to keep myself looking a certain way.
That's true, because once you get coupled up and everything, and then you stay home all the time, and then you just want to be up each other's ass all the time, and you don't see anybody, and you don't go out, and you don't have a reason to get dressed up anymore. There's just no reason.
And you just start wearing sweatpants all the time.
And then you just start looking at each other without your bras on.
That's nasty.
So you've been in a relationship for over 10 years? Is it 10 yet?
Almost.
So what would your advice be then? Okay, obviously you think it's important to maintain your physical appearance, right? Even if it's not hot, fiery, lusty, at least you still look good. That's important to you, right?
Yeah, you still have to look, nice.
What's something that you would say to another woman, like, don't do that when you get into a relationship because that's a passion killer. That's going to ruin your relationship.
Don't be a fucking pain in the ass and a neck.
Well, there you go. That's very detailed and very to the point.
Don't freaking crowd the woman's space, you know. Just because you're with her, I don't think you have to give her some space for Christ. I think you should always still have your own thing, your own friend, your own, you know, identity and personality and stuff like that. Like, this weekend, she'll say, I'm going to my mother's for the weekend. I'm like, I'm going to hang out with my friends. Like, you just got to do that because it's like, oh, my God, get away from me. I'm like, get the hell away from me. You know, dudes, like, for some reason, lesbians, they get like that where they can't, like, do anything or freaking breathe without the other person. It's like, oh, my God.
Oh, God. And then everything becomes me and this one. Me and this one did that. Me and this one. Me and this. Oh. All right. I know you're home. You probably want to relax.
Finally.
That's enough. Thank you, honey.
Hey, Sandy, my name is Brock. I'm on a road trip right now with my friends Cedar and Rachel. We just listened to 3 or 4 of your podcasts back to back. We had a great laugh. Thank you. And I'm wondering why you have a 206 number, because we're actually on the way from Montana to Seattle. We live in Seattle, and that's a Seattle number. So I'm wondering what your connection is to Seattle. Anyway, keep up the good work. And you guys want to say anything? Hang on. No? Okay, bye.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
What are you doing?
Making pasta.
I was just telling you about a tweet, an article that I read about these people in Papua New Guinea or something, and they're raping AIDS patients.
Oh, God.
And I was saying this is one hell of an argument for firearms.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, we need to protect ourselves.
For defensive purposes. Okay. I support what, well, this is the mafia.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect?
We talk about guns and make pasta at the same time. This is what we do. This is what we represent.
Right. Responsible gun ownership and very tasty pasta dishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I could understand why it's a heated topic, especially when you look at cities like Chicago and the crime rate and Philadelphia. Chicago stands out because I just saw a special on it. Really sad. They were showing kids getting shot in between, you know, gun firing and gangs and stuff like that, and why gun control is important. But, you know, when they want to take away our rights altogether, that's where, you know, people are stepping in.
No, I understand. I can definitely empathize and understand why people get very emotional when they think about, you know, all of the crime due to guns. But I don't agree that we should all be stripped of gun rights. It's the Second Amendment.
Exactly.
I really am not one-sided on the gun issue because I understand why people are terrified of guns. I get that. They are terrifying to some degree. I think women in particular are horrified of guns. And I think that's a very terrible thing because women are always on the receiving end of violence from guns.
Mm.
Why do women always have to be on the receiving end of violence from guns? It's very disempowering for women.
Right. Well, coming from especially the article you just read, I mean...
Now what if they had a shotgun in the boudoir? You know, you think these guys would be coming in there and raping these AIDS patients that are on intravenous drugs?
Mm.
You know, they're too weak to fight them off.
Yeah, and it's a shame they're not protected. Like, you know, instead of looking to take our rights away, the government should step in and add regulations and increase safety. Every gun should be tracked.
Yes.
Start with enforcing that way. And it's like they do everything backwards.
Well, work on getting rid of these illegal guns that are being passed around to these 15-year-old drug dealers.
Yeah.
Why don't you work on that? Don't try to take the rights away of law-abiding citizens whose right it is to own a firearm. And it's not just redneck hicks, the way people like to paint them, who are pro-gun.
Mm.
They, you know, that's a picture that they would like everyone to believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to crack down on something, crack down on inner city violence, on these inner city kids that have guns, these little drug dealers that, you know, I'm afraid to drive through certain neighborhoods because I'm afraid they're going to have guns, illegal guns. These aren't law-abiding gun owners. These are kids that got a hold of guns somehow, and I don't know how that happened. Mm-hmm. How did they get here? They got here somehow.
There's an illegal market.
Crack down on that. Take the guns out of these men's hands because they're psychos.
There's definitely an illegal market that they profit off of selling, trading guns. And then you'll notice, you know, when a politician is running, instead of saying that they're anti-gun, they push the topic, you know, gun control. So they are leaning, a lot of, you know, politicians and government, they are leaning towards control, meaning cracking down. And not taking it away altogether.
Right. I mean, look, you know, a lot of people think that if they own guns, that they're going to defend against tyranny. You're not going to fight your government with your shotgun in your closet. You can't fight the government. I mean, they have, you know, they have military weapons. If they want to do something, you know, tomorrow they're going to spray in my neighborhood. I'm sorry, I'm changing the subject.
No, that's okay.
Do you know, tomorrow they're going to spray in my neighborhood because they said that, they said it's for the mosquitoes or something.
Mm. Think like a pesticide?
Yeah, they're spraying that shit in the air.
Yeah, God knows they'd be spraying swine flu.
God knows what they're spraying in the air. And I'm no conspiracy theorist, but, you know, I don't shut my ears either. I'm not an idiot.
Right.
Like, even the truthers, I listen to them. I don't think that, I don't know, do you think that the World Trade Center was an inside job, that 9/11?
What? My dad, he has a double PhD. In applied mathematics and quantum physics. He's a brilliant man, brilliant engineer. He explained to me, I said, what's going on with all this conspiracy theory? And he said, Nicole, the way the buildings were built, when the first plane struck Tower 1, and then the second plane struck, they say it got so hot that it melted the impacts on the plane and the fumes and the heat. They said that it melted the structure, and that's how the Tower 1 and Tower 2 fell. That's what they say. What they don't talk about is the other tower that fell the same exact way as Tower 1 and Tower 2. I think it was Tower 4 or 3.
Tower 7. It went down, it wasn't hit, and it just collapsed.
And it just fell down like that.
That is very curious. I'm not going to say it's not curious, because it is.
It is. And you know what? Why didn't the other buildings fall like that? So he said that something, an explosive device, could have went off in Tower 1 and Tower 2 at the same time, or it could have been set at the same time after the planes hit. Now, the third plane that the people took down that was going to Watt, Philadelphia, that plane was supposed to hit Tower 7, and it never made it. So it was calculated into the plot that that plane was supposed to hit Tower 7 to make it look like that tower was going to crumble.
Well, what's the difference? Well, what's the difference if a plane did it or if a bomb did it? What's the difference? Why is it a conspiracy?
The plane alone, they're saying the plane alone couldn't have caused that meltdown.
So if it was bombs that took it down, that there had to be some compliance. How did you get all those bombs in the building, in other words?
It was a highly calculated plot. Yeah.
Right, and how could you have had that calculated of a plot without there being compliance?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I don't know about all that stuff, but I guess anything is possible, and I listen, I keep an open ear, and I listen to what everyone has to say. I'm not that ignorant that I think I know all about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's just a theory. Just how when people are up on trial and they get these expertise throw in, well, you know, this is how it's done and I'm an expert. My dad is an expert. But because the government would shun him out and other people would shun it out, already say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. No, it's an expert conclusion. It's an expert saying, look, this could have happened because this is the way the building was made. This is the structure. Couldn't just happen on impact alone. There had to be something else going on. And there were plenty of other buildings that were built almost the same way and they didn't fall like that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's good to listen and to take into account.
Well, you know, Charlie Sheen came out and he made this whole movie. Now they're all attacking him. All the people on Fox are attacking him. And
oh, I saw something like that on YouTube, a video.
Yeah, he asked to... Yeah, whatever. I think he's got a little bit of
an agenda.
I think he's just got this, like, strange complex. You know? You want to talk to the president. Go take a walk. I mean, really, get over yourself. And then I listened to an interview with him, and he said, you know, I had this thing in my mind, it came in my mind, that I was going to talk to the president. And then I said, well, what would I want to talk to him about? And I'm passionate. What am I passionate about? 9/11. So it's not that the 9/11 thing drew him to say, let me speak to the president. So he wanted that 20 minutes with the president. And then he came up with something he's passionate about. That sounds to me like somebody with a really serious ego problem. A delusional narcissist, kind of very odd to, you know, it's just, it doesn't seem very sincere. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I'm sure he does believe it, but it just seems more like a ploy for some kind of, you know.
Attention seeking.
Yeah, go take a hike. I don't know. It's, I think he's got like guilt issues or something, and he's trying to do some good in his life or do something that will make him be a great man, you know?
Yeah, purposeful.
Today I accidentally left the store with, I accidentally didn't pay for something in the store. It was on the top part of the carriage, and I didn't realize it until I was out the door. And if you think I feel bad about stealing, you're wrong. Dead wrong.
It's like, who are you hurting, really?
You think I feel bad the way they steal hundreds of billions of dollars, passing through a million stimuluses and all the bailout? You think I care about $16? Go fuck yourself. If I could steal it all, I would go in there. I would go in there. If I would go with a carriage and fill up the... If I could fucking... I would rather get into the cash register. That's what I would rather.
No. My friend's bag got stolen. It's a shame, though. Just the other day, my friend, she was at a gay bar. And her bag got stolen right underneath her arm, pretty much. I mean, she had her bag at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting next to it. She said, Nick, I did not leave once. I was sitting there the whole time. The bag was right by me. She goes, maybe I was talking, you know, I was drinking water. She's like, I turn around, my bag is gone. And then somebody ran in from the bar and gave her her bag and said, oh, they found this at the store. And they go, and it was her bag with her keys in it. Everything else gone on her
bag. But they gave her her keys back. That's so considerate.
Mm-hmm.
They were very nice thieves.
Considerate thieves.
They were considerate thieves.
Right. Instead of what? Throwing it in the garbage?
Well, I guess they felt bad that they stole her bag, and they wanted to make sure that she was able to at least get in her house. At what point in their mind do they say, where do they get their ethical code? Like, like, okay, this is fucked up, but this is really fucked up.
Yeah.
Even I can't do this.
Right. Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
I'll tell you something right now. I have a wristlet when I go out. You know how Coach, they make little, it's called a wristlet.
Mm-hmm.
Bag on your wrist. That bag does not leave my side. I will dance with that bag. I'll swing it around.
Oh my God, you're like the Guidettes that dance to I Will Survive with their bag in, on one shoulder and then a drink on the other hand.
Well, what am I going to do? Leave it? Put it down someplace? I don't trust people watching my stuff.
So, here we are again at the end of another program. It has been a delight hanging out with you. And thank you for hanging out with us. I would like to send a special thank you to Jane, who made a donation immediately after the last podcast. So that was, it's very encouraging, and it's just, it's a nice thing to open up the PayPal and see donations. I won't go on too long about it. But thank you very much to Jane. And I would like to say, you know, it is a very nice thing to have people support your program, even though you may have political differences. I know of people who they may have political differences and they lose friends over stuff like that. So it is, it is a very nice thing to know that there are people who do not take things personally or get offended if there's a discrepancy in politics. So I just want to say thank you so much for listening. I listen to programs that I totally disagree with. So I mean, you know, what are you gonna do? You know, I mean, we're all different, and there can't only be one voice, because we can learn from all different voices. So I don't want to go on too long about that either, but I just want to say a heartfelt thank you for staying tuned in, even if you say to yourself sometimes, you know, fuck you, you know? You may say that sometimes, you know, to yourself if I say something that offends you, you know? Yeah, I try to keep it to a minimum, you know, but sometimes, what are you going to do? You know, Ariana was inspired. So if you would like to find us on MySpace, you can get us at The Lesbian Mafia Cast. And we're on the Twitter at The Lesbian Mafia. We're also on Facebook. Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea how to get there. And if you would like to call into this program, we love your voicemails. And they may not get played right away, but if you stay tuned in, at some point you will hear your voicemail. If you did want to call in and leave a message or a comment or, you know, anything, that number is 206-984-4093. Do not be shy. There's erase and repeat. You can always delete and re-record, so you don't have to be shy about fumbling when you speak. You know, if you knew all the uhs and ahs that I cut out of this podcast, you would not be embarrassed. Okay. And if you needed to send email, you can send that to info@thelesbianmafia.com. And lastly, if you wanted to listen to this program on your telephone, if you don't have internet access at work or wherever you are, for whatever reason you lose your internet, or if your iPod is broken for whatever reason, you can just dial 651-925-1610 and you can listen to this program on there. Yes, you can. So thank you so much again for tuning in. It is always a joy, a pleasure, and a delight spending time with you. And we will come at you again, hopefully, very soon. Okay.
One thing I cannot stand is a fracking feminist. I cannot stand this in the politics. I cannot stand it. I won't have it. I will keep pushing the women down because I cannot stand them. I cannot. I hate them. You understand that I hate them. So the defecation is the defecation.
I have a nice hairdo, though. I know you like my hairdo. And if you don't think my uterus is powerful, you're very wrong. Because Wolf Blitzkrieg said that I made a good point. And today, when I go to the car wash, I'm going to say, take the whole engine out and then give me a lobotomy. That's it right now. 1, 2, 3. Goodbye. This is Ariana Huffington signing off. Goodbye.
Out of plan. guess I left my world in somebody's hands. I don't like to hurt much, but everyone gets weak. Someone to rely on. That's what I really need. Now here we step with all that we're worth. I've been through the pain and been dragged through the dirt. Whatever they tell you, we're bigger than words. I've been where you're standing, I know how it hurts. Let this be a song now, and this be a day. If we stand together, then we'll be okay. Cause we're survivors, we're making a world. Expecting the best when they hope for the worst.
Nobody's perfect now.